Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC-LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
Morning, everybody. Good grief. I have a horrible echo in my headphones. I'll just take that off. That's improv. That's improv for me. Improv. That's what we're doing today. Woo. Folks from Big Blue Door here with me. My friend Joel Jones.
How you doing, Rick?
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Well, thanks for being here. I always thank everybody for being here on Sunday mornings because you could be doing something else.
That's true at all times. Yeah.
What would you be doing otherwise?
I got a little cold, so I'd be actually sleeping, I think. Probably drinking honey water or, you know, tea.
Stay over there. Don't be sharing.
Yeah.
Joel Jones from Big Blue Door, co-founder. 2012, you're celebrating your 4 years, about to be going into your fifth year.
Yeah, this is our fifth year right now, halfway through our fifth year.
What is Big Blue Door, by the way?
Big Blue Door is an organization founded by myself and Jennifer Hoffman Jones, and we specialize in improv, true stories, and sketch writing, comedy writing. And we moved here from New York to bring new kinds of classes and a new way of performing to Charlottesville.
We also have with us here in the room Nadir Namaki.
Nadir.
Nadir Namaki.
I knew I was going to blow that up.
That
won't be the first and only time.
It's a rough one. It's not the easiest of names. Yeah.
Nadir Namaki. And we also have Brian Weisbrod.
Yes, you got it.
I always get it wrong, actually.
I wrote down the sound alike, and I so want to say that.
Yeah.
Not that I want to say that, but that's where my eyes keep going.
Go for it.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm sure you heard that a lot in school. You guys are we're going to be talking about improv today, as well as Big Blue Door, and you guys are the coaches.
Yeah, we have three classes, and people go through the classes, and then they can be on these performance groups, and the performance groups run, and these two fellows have been on performance groups really from our beginning of our second year, and then they've done so many that they did their own shows, and then they now teach for us, and they run the teams themselves.
So coaches are our teachers?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, so there's sort of, I guess there's a small distinction there. So teachers really work on teaching people the kind of techniques and background behind improv. And coaches, you take a performance team and you're sort of more oriented towards making a good performance and putting on a good show. And you kind of sculpt and guide a team in that way. So there's kind of a subtle difference between the two.
I decided that with 94.7 being the progressive voice of Charlottesville, being the left-leaning voice of Charlottesville, the last couple weeks not being the most happy
Are you referring to those two constitutional amendments that were on the ballot initiative for the recent election?
Well, let's just say the votes in general for those of us who would normally listen to 94.7, the voice that we wanted to hear coming from Washington, D.C., or at least of our two choices, that we needed something a little happier, or at least a little more entertaining than what we're going to hear beginning in January. So let's reach out to our friends and family from Big Blue Door.
So that's why you brought in Nadir, the biggest Trump supporter this side.
Huge. I'm a huge Trump supporter.
Nadir does a pretty good Bernie Sanders impression.
Yeah. I do a pretty good.
Well, you know what? That's a question. Yeah. When we talk about improv, do you do current events?
Sure. Well, we work off anything. What we do is called long form improv, a little different from short form. Short form is the kind of improv that was kind of invented originally in the 50s, where you see like Whose Line Is It Anyway on TV, where someone will give someone a suggestion like, hey, you guys, we'll have Nadir and Brian, and we'll have a location, and I want you guys to start all your sentences with the letter L, or something like that. And that's kind of imposing a sort of game on the scene that they're doing from the outside, or we're going to clap. Every time we clap, you got to switch each other's characters, something like that. And it's really fun to do, but that's not what we do. We use exercises like that when we're teaching, but what we do really is more like The Office or Parks and Rec or Whose Line Is It? I mean, not, or 30 Rock, those kind of shows, where you're actually developing character-based humor. You're doing scenes and discovering what's going on in the scene and then playing it out. So to do that, we teach people to work off any kind of impression that they have, whatever's going on in their head. So if an audience member is thinking about politics, then these guys our performers will use that as an initiative to pull something out of their own heads. Maybe it's political, maybe it's not, whatever they feel like, whatever's going on with them.
We also have a couple recent graduates who are here with us today. We'll be doing some shows with them, including them a little later in the hour.
You just said that they started to come in.
I know.
They're not so excited.
A little bit later.
That's a sign of people who so want to grab the microphone and get into it. But we'll have them in. Jess Pascal and Kelsey Keverline. Why can't we have people like Joel Jones? Where are the simple names?
You know, in Iran, everyone's like Joel Jones, Rick Moore. How do you pronounce these names? So let's keep it relative, folks. Left-leaning radio, and you're insulting my Persian name.
No. What I'm doing is
Trump America's got a hold of you.
What I'm doing is showing how many brain cells I have lost since I turned the age of 18. They're all blowing up. I always told those kids as I got older and had all the high school kids who wanted to drink, I said, it's not that those brain cells start burning and popping when you start drinking. It's that they start blowing up as you age. You can feel them pop like a soap bubble as you get a little older.
I bet that was really effective with high school kids.
Yeah. It didn't really do anything.
Thanks, Mr. Moore. I'll stop today.
Yes.
Stay off of drugs, kids. Your brain cells are gone anyway.
it had zero effect. So some of the things that Big Blue Door does, we'll get into that in a little bit. But one of the things that caught my attention most, you're working with the International Rescue Committee.
We did that a few years ago. We did a show. We like to pair with different groups, and we did a show where we collected some oral histories from people who were refugees here in this country and in Charlottesville area. IRC, Charlottesville is a big refugee population, and the International Rescue Committee settles them, works with them here. And then we did a show. It was a fundraiser for them, and we mixed improv, and we read some of these oral histories, and we had some oral histories online, and then we did some interviews with the audience members, that kind of thing. We didn't raise very much money for them, though.
No. Nope. Well, sometimes it's just an audience, right?
And they went out of business after that. No, they did not. They're still there. They're still there, and your listeners at home could send them a check right now.
1108. That's right. We did a show with the IRC here about a year ago, and so they are still around a year later because 94.7 was very provocative in helping keep them alive at least a year later.
And it's nice of you letting refugees actually stay in your station in the other rooms I saw.
Yeah, that's why we're so neat and tidy here at 94.7.
Wait a second. Daniel.
Welcome to alt-right radio.
I didn't think it was odd. I'd never seen an American radio station with a chaiwala before, and I was very confused. I'm just kidding.
All right, so as long as we keep the seven dirty words out of the radio, you can talk about just about
anything. Chaiwala means someone who serves tea, so don't worry about it.
All right, so we do have Big Blue Door here. We are going to be doing long-form improv.
Yeah, and the long-form improv originally just meant a longer form. So, like, if you did a short-form thing, people would say, hey, do this little exercise, and then and then long form would do a longer exercise. But it also has come to mean the kind of training that you do to do those kinds of exercises, which is these guys can tell you about it a little bit if they want to, their own experiences. But just it's a, you know, a long, much longer process. You know, it's like learning the guitar or something like that. It's like you're really learning a skill of how to respond, how to notice what you're paying attention to, that kind of thing.
I'd like to bring Jess and Kelsey in now and share the microphones. Because what I want to know is, and let's keep the coaches in here, because we're talking today about microphone, about Improv 3, is what we're going to be working with. And so I want to know what happens from Improv 1 to 2 to 3. So let's start with our... with our recent grads and coaches, and the experience from the difference in Improv 1 to 3. So let's talk with our recent grads. What did you do walking in? What was your expectation in taking the class? So Jess and Kelsey?
That's a really good question. My expectations, I guess... I didn't really have too many, but I wanted to be able to be in a situation where I could agree with people and kind of, you know, think on the fly and kind of act with whatever was on my mind and kind of lose that filter that we tend to have when we have interactions, right? Like, you, is that the right thing to say? Is that the right thing to do? And improv is kind of like getting rid of that filter and just doing it and saying it and not being self-conscious about it. So for me, I think that's kind of what I was hoping to get from improv.
Yeah, I thought it looked like a lot of fun. I guess what I really enjoyed was how honest improv is. I feel like a lot of it is reacting genuinely to situations that might be unusual or situations that might not be unusual. But I think that a lot of the humor of improv comes from the way that we see ourselves in the people and the interactions that play out on stage.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, like, all the different people that are in the classes and performance groups, all the different walks of life that are in the classes, all the reasons for people to be there. You know, some people are trying to get better social interactions. Some people are there to do better, you know, in meetings at work. You know, it's a pretty wide variety.
Yeah, and I think maybe the recent grads can speak more to this, but I think the actual progression of Improv 1 to 2 to 3, I think it really does build well in terms of, you know, at level 1, you're kind of learning to do what Jess was talking about and just being willing to kind of not have that filter and open up and put your own thoughts out there and those sorts of stuff. And then in 2 and 3, we work on more sort of performance-based techniques and kind of how to translate having that opinion and how can you then build the opinions and thoughts and feelings that you already have into these kind of interesting storylines when really you haven't prepared anything. And how can you do that with agreement instead of disagreement, which is what most kind of drama is built off of?
Well, tell me, Jess and Kelsey, what led you to keep going? I can understand, so you step forward into Improv 1 because you're looking for... to help learn something, to take on the to look for a skill, to help an improv to bring forth learning a skill that you might not have almost socially rather than an entertainment skill. But then you keep going and you take 2 and 3, which seems more entertainment, almost entertainment. What led you to keep going?
For me, it was a lot of peer pressure. I had friends who were in Improv 1, and they were going to keep going through the whole course, and so I wanted to be with them and spend more time with them. But I also wanted to kind of improve my own skills in continuing on through the course and seeing what I was capable of and pushing myself out of my comfort zone, because it doesn't feel good sometimes because it's so out of your normal world, you know? But I think in, like, our day-to-day lives of, you know, I teach, and it's very structured and there's a certain way to do things, but improv kind of gives you like an outlet, right? And so I wanted to give myself that opportunity more often.
Yeah, I guess I kind of got addicted to like the feeling of being able to say and do whatever you want spontaneously. It's really freeing, and it's also really grounding to kind of have that experience maybe once or twice a week, and then you can go back, I guess, to the quote-unquote real world and behave. But I feel like I need that release now in my life to help me stay stable.
And it's also cool when you have other friends who don't know that side of you, and they're like, hey, come to the show, and they're like, I had no idea you could do that. So it's kind of like a cool party trick, too.
Absolutely, yeah. I wouldn't say that I'm funnier in real life, but I do, like, go along with threads, and found myself that I agree a lot more in real life now,
right.
Which is nice.
That's a good point.
All right, so we're going to take our first break. And then we're going to come back, and is everybody ready to do performance?
Yeah, we do.
Of course.
Is that what it's called?
Let's do this improv.
Let's do this. We'll perform an improvisational theater piece.
All right. So a little early, but 11:16 here at 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. All right, we are back here at Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Rick Moore hosting folks from the Big Blue Door. And we are we ready to go?
Always ready. Yeah, absolutely.
I guess that's kind of the whole point, right? We don't, you don't wait for signs, but sorry, that's just how I end up. I'm stuck because I haven't taken a class. Anyway, that's right.
So why don't you just give them a word? Like you can improvise off like a word, song, lyric, date, time, anything at all. But why don't you just give them a word of any kind?
Well, all right. I'm going to pick up my list of last week's stuff, and I'm going to run my finger down.
Why does it say guest sucks right there?
Actually, she wasn't a sucky guest because we were talking about. There we go. How about No. But we were talking about politics before the politics and the vote. How about we're going to do TMZ video?
TMZ video. Thank you.
So there you go. TMZ video. I don't know when it was. TMZ video, July 15, 20, 2008.
I don't know about you guys, but when I was in college, I used to make really stupid videos with my friends, and thank God there were no cell phones to pick it up. Because it was just like me running like half naked around campus doing really dumb things.
Nice.
Yeah.
I had a few college TV shows when I was in college. So if you want to talk about like stupid videos, I definitely made stupider ones. But the crazy part was not that how bad my college TV show was. It was that later on there were like I would run into people who had seen the show either in like the local Austin area or like somewhere online and stuff. And like the compliments you would get would just be kind of alienating because you'd be like, do you not have real television? Like, what is the purpose of watching UT television when you live in New Orleans? Like, you have to seek this out. And it was really alienating because people were trying to compliment me, and I was just basically calling them Luddites and morons.
So that, I think that you're, I guess, my college-age generation is a lot less forgiving when it comes to videos. When I was in high school, I got asked to prom by a guy who was singing a song, and of course it got videotaped by everybody who was in the room. And I was just mortified at the time because I hated being the center of attention. And I had to go home, and because the video got posted online, I had to relive it like 5 more times. And just all of those feelings of like embarrassment and dread just came all the way right back up.
Oh golly, the embarrassment reminds me of third grade when I was super dehydrated, I didn't drink enough water that day, and we were painting masks for some like school play or something, and all of a sudden I passed out, and I hit my head on the sink and got paint in my hair, and they had to call the nurse to come down with a wheelchair, and like I could not, like it was so embarrassing, because all the way through high school people remember me as a person who like passed out and got paint in her hair. It was miserable.
And scene.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah, what's up, Bob?
Hey, I appreciate you offering me a promotion, but I'd prefer you not videotape it.
No, I mean, I'm going to put this on Instagram, so I want people to know that you got the promotion, and, you know, I just want to, it's a social media thing.
Look, I don't want my kids to know that I have this job.
I hear what you're saying, and it's not...
Look, accounting is horrible and boring, and I tell them that I do cool stuff.
I know. I do remember when you had me dress up like a smack addict at your kid's birthday party to try and kind of sell the bit, but this is to promote the company.
I'm trying to clean up the streets for my kids.
Okay. I understand that.
I don't want to be an assistant controller at this company. I want to clean up the streets.
I get that, but you're about to be the head assistant controller. Does that not come with a little bit of...
You mean the controller?
Yeah, basically.
Kelsey, will you go to prom with me? Kelsey, will you go to prom with me?
This is just not fun for anybody. You should just like drop the bit. This is the third time you've asked me, and we people have been how this is gonna go. No, I'm hoping. Keep trying. It's gonna happen. I appreciate your enthusiasm. You know, it's really, really touching. But you keep trying, I guess. I don't know. Maybe some of these times I'll say yes. But
hey.
I don't
Hey, Harold.
Want this.
Harold, so
one of these times you might say yes.
So, Harold, do you still want the skywriting? Or, because we got it.
We got see.
Honey?
Yeah. Yes?
Honey, I saw your TV show.
Oh. Oh, thank you, Grandma. Yeah, thanks.
Oh, it wasn't good.
Oh, yeah. It's a little rough around the edges, I guess. I mean,
you should start from scratch, maybe.
Cut the TV show.
Hello.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I guess just having the one person not greeted by anybody was a little... It's a little avant-garde, I guess, but I mean, we're going for something.
Who do you think is going to want to watch this?
Cut to people watching it.
Oh my gosh, it's my favorite show. Hello.
And scene. Okay, we'll stop right there for a minute. Talk to me.
Oh, so I didn't realize that part of the format was just... I mean, my imagination was that it was just the four people or two people or however many people on stage was just continuing... to work around the words or whatever the key to keep performing but Joel, you kept saying something to keep the change. You said scene, and different people kept jumping in, so scene, go to the people watching the TV show, or to keep things changing.
Yeah, if you're performing it live, you would either have a blackout, or you would have someone called sweep the stage, or like someone run out the edge of the stage to show the scene was over, or some other people would start a new scene, and other people would stop the old scene.
I also noticed that nobody talked over anybody else. How do you prevent that from happening?
Well, that's really the training. That's really going back and forth over the course of, make a sentence of any kind. Just make a sentence.
Joel, how do you keep people from talking over somebody else?
That's a great question, Rick. How do you keep people from
talking? I don't know.
So what you do is like you learn this back and forth, like say a little chunk, the other person says a chunk, other person says a chunk. And it's not something that's
really, I don't understand.
Yeah, and that's also like you learn to just stop when the other person's talking. So it's like an anti-fragile system in a way. It's like there's a backup plan. First, you talk in little chunks. Second, if the other person's talking, you just stop talking and listen to them. And then you respond to whatever the last thing that they said is. So if they start saying a bunch of crazy stuff, you just respond to the last thing, and you get more confident doing it that way. And it's really just the practice of week after week just doing it.
I can see that in certain incidents or certain settings where you can see one another. And today in the station, you're sort of sitting in a half circle and you where you can see one another. And so you can see through body language that somebody is about to stop, or almost through looking at one another. They're saying, your turn, my phrase is finished, please take over. But on stage, that would be more difficult.
A lot of what people are doing is setting the location. So if they're watching the TV show, they bring out chairs and they'd be setting themselves up to watch the TV show. And so that physical action is a lot of what happens with improv, another thing that you're practicing. But mostly we practice... You're cutting the scene before the energy starts to fall. That's one way of doing it. Or you're cutting the scene once we know what's going to happen. So once we know that two people are watching TV and they like the show that they're watching, there's not a lot of other information to get across in that scene. So there's no reason not just to cut it and move to the next one.
There's also a trust element as well. When you work on a team with someone, you sort of just trust that they're going to jump in and add something, or and you kind of just... have to believe that that's going to happen.
Yeah, most of the time when I go out there, I have like one big idea, and then once you've kind of conveyed that big idea, there's nothing really else that you can pursue with that unless somebody else jumps in with an idea or somebody kind of edits the scene to end it there.
And really, Mitch, any of those these people could have taken any of those scenes as long as we needed to. You know, they could have gone. Once you've gone to the level three, all these people could pretty much hold the stage for 20 minutes, even if they're not getting laughs, without losing their minds, which is really hard. When you first start out, you can freak out after about 15 seconds. And then, I'm not saying. Did I say 15 minutes? Probably a little long. But I would say the two of y'all could go 8-9 minutes, right?
Certainly.
Yeah. We're going to do that now. We'll have silence. No.
I think the key is, though, we spend a lot of time doing group games, and I think that just builds your... kind of collaboration within your team, so that way you know that, you know, you have kind of trust in them that you're going to take a chance and you're going to get out there and hopefully someone's going to come out and save you.
Yeah, and so a group game is when somebody will initiate with an idea, and there's some set ones and things like that, and then most of or many members of the team will come out and they'll all do a scene together.
One of the most kind of painful and instructive practices that we had was when Joel made us play all of the different characters in a scene for like 2 to 3 minutes, and so you really had to hold the stage by yourself and kind of keep action going with no prior preparation or anything for 2 to 3 minutes, and that was really difficult, but I felt like I learned a lot from it.
Our guest today here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, folks from Big Blue Door. We have Joel Jones, co-founder. Big Blue Door, been around since 2012. Nadir Namaki. That was what the big sigh was, because I was like, Nadir. That is an H. I really should learn to pull my glasses down further over my nose and read my handwriting. Nadir Namaki, one of the coaches, Brian Weisbrod.
Nice, Doug. That was it, everyone.
Weisbrod. Jess Pascal.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelsey Keverline.
Yes.
Gosh, 4 out of 5. I'm so sorry, Nadir.
It's totally fine.
Well, it's not, though. People should have their name pronounced properly.
To be fair, the proper pronunciation of my name is Nader, but that's really tough.
The goal now is to mispronounce it the entire time.
Yeah.
So you can go home and say, God, what a jerk that guy
is. Yeah, it's actually, we have a third coach, Asher Banipal, who couldn't make it today. But we just, luckily.
You just made that up.
I think it's a Mesopotamian name.
That's part of improv, is you just made that up.
Yeah.
Why don't you guys take over and do another show? I don't even know what that says.
All right.
So Joel's going to take over the show for another. We got 10 minutes or so. You can do a little less, a little more. before the next break.
Sounds great.
Woohoo!
Woo! Welcome to Big Blue Door's wake up call, Sunday wake up call here.
Everyone's favorite time to wake up, 11 a.m.
11:30 a.m. Just starting your day.
Get up.
Brush your
You're
teeth.
Hungover.
Brush your teeth.
Get over it.
So let's do this. Let's do a little miniature montage off multiple words. You want to just do that?
Sure. Great.
And we'll just ask some people some words. Rick, how about another word of any kind? Just one single word.
Population.
Takes away. Do y'all want to cut these yourselves or do you want me to cut them?
You can go ahead.
I'll cut them. Okay. Population.
Yeah. So I've been raising ants for about 5 years now.
Yeah. And we really, you know, we started off with this really small colony and I felt like we just, you know, through hard work, we've put a lot of work into it and, now we've got this ant mountain, and we're really proud of it. Mm-hmm.
It's an entire mountain worth of ants. The population is just burgeoning, and they've become sentient. The ants now have a consciousness.
Yeah, and there's two different queens, and they've kind of started warring factions.
Cut to the queens.
I'm the queen of this colony.
Excuse me? There is a line drawn here, and... This side is mine, and you know that.
Oh, snap!
I have a bigger butt. I'm the queen of this colony.
Uh-huh.
I don't care about your butt. I killed 20 of your people.
Oh, you tell her, girl!
That was my brother.
Yeah, and he deserved it because he stepped over this line.
I mean, technically all 20 of them were your brother, were a single colony of ants.
Yeah. Technically, they were also my brother, but I don't care.
But you don't seem to understand the hierarchy. I have the bigger butt, and that makes me the queen ant.
What aren't you understanding about this, Kim? No one cares about your butt anymore. We're over it.
Chloe, this is how I make my money. I'm the queen ant.
And scene. Go have another word.
Streaking.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah, Bob.
I'm thinking about running over there with my clothes off.
Bob, that sounds like a great idea.
Oh, thank you. I thought of it myself.
Merle. Can I join you?
Yeah. Someone's calling for Merle.
Merle.
Where's Merle? Did we lose Merle?
Was he supposed to come with us?
I'm pretty sure that... Did we lose Merle at Myrtle Beach?
Cut to Myrtle Beach.
Hey.
Yeah, I think I'm lost.
And scene. Can we have another word?
Oh, another word? Mesopotamia.
Mesopotamia.
Is it not Nader?
Nader, yes. It's Nader.
Oh.
Nader Namakidus.
Wow. That sounds pretty cool.
Yes, it means, my first name means rare, like hard to find, and my last name means a person who really likes salt.
My name is Eric Belvedere.
What does Belvedere mean?
Oh, well, it means a street in San Diego.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a wonderful...
You should visit sometime.
I would love to go to San Diego.
Oh, well, you got a place to stay.
Belvedere Street?
Dancing. You got another word? Okay, another word.
Art.
Well, dear, I've been working all day on this piece. Wow, yeah, I can see that you've got about, like, three lines there, and they're really starting to take shape.
It's taken me a great amount of time to get this done, and I'm glad you appreciate it.
Yeah,
What was your inspiration?
Life in general.
Oh yeah, I can definitely see that in this three-line painting. Wow, I feel like this is really visionary.
Well, it's the past, the present, the future, three lines, all encompassing.
I didn't even think of that. Oh my goodness, forgive me, Mr. Picasso. This is genius.
I forgive you, but that's why I'm the artist and you aren't.
Well, you don't have to remind me. That was kind of cruel.
I'm sorry, dear. Did not mean to be cruel.
You know, I thought that by studying underneath you, that I could get to your level, but...
One day it might happen. One day.
Clearly you don't expect that out of me.
I expect very little from you.
We cut to Pablo Picasso Art School. Mr. Picasso, I've drawn my three lines.
Genius! Just genius! You've made it!
Mr. Picasso, I just put some blue on the paper. It is just blue.
Marvelous. Simply marvelous. Mr. Picasso, I've recreated the Mona Lisa, and I think it's okay. I don't know.
You failed.
I did the Mona Lisa, but I messed her face up. It's all mushy.
Perfect. Simply perfect. Divine.
I did the Mona Lisa, and it's just three lines.
Wonderful. You've all passed except for you with the perfect Mona Lisa.
Cool.
And scene. One more word.
Thesaurus.
Thesaurus.
You know, I'm getting kind of sick and tired of Nadir. He just Ashurbanipal. That's a pretty deep cut reference.
Yeah, he's kind of like a pompous jerk.
He's a jerk face.
Yeah. You know, once when I was taking a test, he, like, looked over my shoulder and, like, told me that gigantic wasn't fancy enough and that I should have used...
Cut to the test.
You know, gigantic's really not fancy enough. You should use cyclopean, and that has kind of a, like, Lovecraftian...
Yeah, I mean, like, I've heard of cheating before, but this was something completely
Very
different.
Rarely do people cheat to make your essay better.
I know, but it was just such a jerk move. It wasn't even, like, nice.
Yeah, he's not a nice person. He's not a nice or a good person.
I mean, who's ever heard of the word cyclopean?
Cut to another test. Nadir, why is everyone showing you their tests?
Oh, well, it's just I think people can recognize when someone in the room... can improve upon what they're working on, and so, you know, I think people know greatness when they see it.
Well, yes.
Hey, Nadir, I'm having trouble finding this right angle.
Yeah.
Can you, like, show me?
I'm the teacher. Why are you cheating? Folks from the Big Blue Door here with us today on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. We were just listening to Nadir... Did I get that right that time?
Yeah, Nadir.
Oh, that's because I heard it like 50 times. was that what that was?
It's
what
conditioning.
That was all about?
It's
subliminal
conditioning.
Messaging?
Yeah, he was just really sick of you pronouncing his name wrong, so he thought he'd make a scene about it.
Well, and as he should have been. Nadir Namaki.
Namaki.
So I moved to the second name and got that wrong. I'm just going to go with Nadir, Brian, Jess, and Kelsey here along with Joel Jones from Big Blue Door doing long-form improv. Big Blue Door also does writing and true storytelling. Having a little fun today on 94.7 WPVC. All right. Thanks for listening today. This is 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. A beautiful day, a little windy, a little chilly. But if you sit inside and look outside, it is a beautiful day. After all, it is fall. Can't every day be like yesterday? Joel Jones with us, co-founder of Big Blue Door. About to go into the fifth year, correct?
That's right. We are in the middle of the fifth year.
into the middle amidst, of the fifth year. Amidst the fifth year. And in January, you'll be teaching some new classes, correct?
Yeah, we got one more sketch workshop that we sold out, but in the fall, and then we start again in January. We'll have a Telling True Stories class, a level two class. We've already had level ones before, and we'll be doing Improv 1 again, and then we'll also have some team performance stuff with the people who are graduates.
Not to go too far off kilter. I love the storytelling.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
It's
very exciting. For the first time, we hope to be able to bring it back together. You know, we started out Big Blue Door. We did improv from the very beginning, the classes, but most of our shows were this true story shows. And those we ran those Big Blue Door jams once a month for 2 years. And had great success with it. And then as our improv program grew, we didn't have spaces for the Telling True Stories, and so we worked on the improv. We've been working on that for the last 3 years, 2 years. 3 years, 2 years is a special kind of 3 years. It's a special time unit that we use. And then it's special improv talk. You wouldn't get it. But
I'm still learning how to pronounce names, so I would never get the math.
Yeah. So we have this level two class, Telling True Stories. These Telling True Stories people, and then we're going to be able to, in the winter, integrate them with our performers to do a new show. And we're really excited. We're going to have that show at the Front Porch, which is a new space that opened. They've been around, but they just moved to the old Mickey Theater downtown. So we'll have a monthly show there on the fourth Saturdays, starting in January. Not too early for everyone at home to diligently mark their calendars, or as
make sure you wake up by then.
It'll be at night. So
well, I'm a big fan of the storytelling because we go back to Wake Up Call in its original form, 1.0, at another radio station in town. And Big Blue Door would come in on Sundays once per year and come in and do some storytelling. So I'm glad to have Big Blue Door here on Wake Up Call version 2.0. But you also do the writing for stage and video and audio. Have any of those projects actually made it, whether they've been published or performed?
I've got a collection of plays out right now. They're on Indie Theater Now. It's like an e-published, which is a... I don't know if that counts as publishing.
Yes.
Yes, okay. It e-counts. That's out. We have been trying to put together a book of stories from our storytelling, and we haven't really... been able to get that together yet, so we're hoping to kick things off with using this new coming class and show to do that. And you notice in the beginning of this, we started out with these guys telling true stories and used that as a bridge into the improv. And we do that in our classes as well. It's just how we teach improv, which is you don't have to share anything you don't want to. You know, it's not the idea isn't to, you know, feel exposed or whatever, but the stuff that you do share is great material. You know, to pull out scenes and locations and points of view that make funny scenes.
You were mentioning that there's a movie coming out, not from
it did
your
come out.
Group.
Yeah, Don't Think Twice was a movie. It was out. It was ran. I think it was. Violent Crown still. Is it still running now?
No.
But it was there. Yeah, it's a great movie, and it's one of the first movies I've ever seen that had long form improv in it, and that's what they did in that movie.
So if it's been out, then you can probably rent it or get it on Netflix, stream it. What's it called?
Don't Think Twice. It's Mike by the guy Mike Birbiglia.
Mike Birbiglia.
Yeah, good luck with. So yeah, I'm not Birbiglia. The only one with problems. Yeah.
And
he did that.
The thing. What's it called? The sleep thing.
Sleepwalking
with me. And he's a great performer. And there were a lot of good improvisers in that show.
How many people can you put on a stage for improv before it's too many?
Depends on how big the stage is, I think.
who is going for the crown of funniest dude in the studio?
Almost certainly Nadir.
How many people? Like we usually teams, our class teams usually about eight. We have done nine. I think an ideal number is seven or eight. You can do, but these guys have performed I performed as a duo. And these guys have performed as a duo before, so you can go down to two. I've even seen people do one-person improv, but it was more like a what do you call it? Novelty.
Self-aggrandizement. One-person improv.
It was like, if you like improv, it was kind of interesting to watch, but it kind of sucked. So we don't do that.
All right, we are here again. Sunday morning wake-up call, 94.7 WPVC. Having a funny Sunday, other than somebody in the studio who's tired of having his name mispronounced.
I grew up with it.
He likes it. He's getting so much attention right now.
So much attention.
It's actually his mom would mispronounce his name.
Takes me right back to home. It's a cruel thing in my family. There's three men. Matt, Dave, and Naughty.
Oh, my goodness. But we are having a good time here. Next week, Sean McCord returns to sub for me. Oh, let's try this, because I had this guy on the show about 3 years ago and blew his name up for the whole time and only really remembered how to pronounce it properly once he left the hour, and his name is pronounced properly on his recording when you call his office. Sean McCord will be here with Siva Vaidyanathan, UVA Professor of Media Studies and Law at UVA. That's proper. I think I pronounced that properly. Professor Siva Vaidyanathan. Anybody know him?
He's friends with Asher Boniface, I think.
But correct, the last name is about 15 letters. But he's a wonderful man. You should listen into that show. Sean will be here next Sunday.
I think the preposition was but. He's got a long name, but he's a nice guy. Welcome
Most
to all great
names. Names. They're no good.
Well, you know, I would think that after your name is mispronounced for your entire life, it does put a little burn into your personality. All right, 11:47. You guys ready to do some more? Because you got to fill the hour. I can't.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have not taken the improv class, so I can only sit here and chat for so long for the rest of the hour.
How do you do it other weeks?
Let's learn a little more about Rick Moore.
I have guests across from me that I can just ask questions to. I can do that for the rest of the
hour. Ask me a question.
If you want to do I can do that for the rest of the hour.
For those of you that can't see, Brian is leaning back as though on a Shea lounge.
So, dish girl.
All right. So, Brian, I want to know what it was like growing up to have your name, to be teased about your last name and called Nice Toad.
That's a pretty harmless teasing, I feel like. There were probably other things that...
But it wasn't the only... It couldn't have been the only one.
It wasn't Toad.
Brian, could you tell us about the intense teasing you got as a straight white man?
Yes. It's, life is hard for me, and that's why... let me get to the joke, please. That's why I voted for Trump.
But you wore glasses?
No, actually, glasses are a fairly new thing for me. I was pretty cool, let's be honest. I played sports.
But you wear braces now. So
I'm really piling on the nerdy stuff now. I do improv. I have braces. I have glasses. I don't have a girlfriend.
You do now go out in public with the Vulcan ears that you're currently wearing.
Yeah. Can people call in if they want to go out on a date with me?
No. Once we decided to do this show, I turned the phones off.
All right. Well, I don't know that I'll be back then. I thought I was here.
I just here to get a date.
I thought I was here. I thought this was going to be some sort of get Brian a date situation.
No. This is not match.radio.com.
All right.
That is really the only way we can get Brian to do anything.
Well, yeah, this is kind of why we're doing a radio promotion rather than a TV.
Oh, slam.
Ooh. Can anybody in post, can someone put like an air horn right there?
And I don't even know that
he got slammed.
I don't even know that that was improv. I think that's been waiting for the whole time.
Very deep down.
Yeah. Kelsey heard she was going to be on this, and she's like, at some point, I got to diss one of the guys. Yeah. They bring up ladies. I got this TV joke in my pocket.
Yeah. And Kelsey, can you please describe what I look like?
Nice Toad.
Yikes.
Not Mean Toad.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Woo. So are you guys going to do something?
You want us to do improv off of that?
We just gave you gold, Rick Moore.
Yikes.
And you're just asking us to dance like monkeys.
All right, 11.
We can do improv off of that.
11:50 and change. I'm going to turn it back over to Brian Nicetoad and the three mean folks and Joel Jones from Big Blue Door.
You want to work off that one? You want something else?
Let's do it.
All right.
Oh, no, this is not going to be fun.
Hey, Kelsey.
Yeah?
I heard what you said about me on the radio.
Yeah, and I want you to know that I sincerely mean it.
I mean, Kelsey, it was really mean when you got the cast of Hamilton to point at Brian and make fun of him.
Well, yeah, I guess, but,
where do you get off?
Well, I really enjoy, poking fun at you. It's one of my greatest pleasures in life. It's probably because my life's been so tough as a straight white male.
Well,
I mean, you did change your name to Kelsey to try and attract more teasing.
Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, and he's the worst.
He's literally the worst.
No one likes Kelsey Grammer.
I like Kelsey Grammer.
I mean, I'm Brian's hype man, and I don't even like Kelsey Grammer.
Kelsey. Do-do-do-do-do!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the afternoon wake-up call with Nader Namaki. I have with me a panel of experts here to talk about teen bullying. I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hello, I am Rosia Iqbal from NPR News, and I have been following a story on teen bullying for the past 6 months in San Diego, California.
Thank you so much for joining us, Rosia.
I'm Charlotte Scott, and I have been researching bullying in high schools.
Charlotte Scott.
Hey, I'm Merle. I'm lost.
And Merle, who graciously offered to fill in when our third guest dropped out. Rosia, tell us a little bit more about this story. You've done some really great journalism on this, and I'd like the listeners to hear about it.
Well, yes, it's primarily focusing on online bullying, especially following the wake of kind of the unraveling of political discourse in this country. And it's really looking at the effects on children under the age of 3.
It's a really important issue, and you guys can learn more about it on Rosia's website. And Charlotte, what has your research revealed about the nature of teen bullying?
Basically, what we found is that the uglier you are and the stupider your name is, the more you're going to get bullied.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in some sort of Hangover 4 situation. I really struggled to wake up by 11 this morning. I got up. I came into the studio. All my friends had left me voicemails. They said, "Where? Merle, where are you?" I said, "I don't know. I'm in Myrtle Beach, I think." And then I looked at Facebook, and all my friends are having fun up on a rooftop. And where was I? I don't know. Was I in some sort of locked ice bin or something?
For those of you who only joined in the last 30 seconds, we're here to discuss teen bullying. Rosia, I'm wondering if you have any thoughts given, you know, as you mentioned, the recent kind of change in climate and public discourse. Can you tell us about the specific incident you were charting in Chicago?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, actually, the kind of the change in public discourse is kind of what brought on my interest in this subject. And what really happened was when I witnessed a group of 5-year-olds that had started poking fun at a minority figure who, fit in more with people who have been recently targeted by certain public individuals.
It's a really tragic story. And Charlotte, you did a long-term longitudinal study on the efficacy of a Pray the Ugly Away program. Can you tell us a little bit about those results?
Yeah, so it seemed like the prayer actually did not help, but what we are trying to do is see if we can get some health care reform and some a partnership with the Social Security Office so we can get funding for people to get plastic surgery if they need to, and also change their last names.
And Merle, you're shaking really violently, and you've apparently, listeners can't see this, but you've wet yourself.
Merle, My name's Merle. I really appreciate y'all letting me stay in your studio. And I've been going through some crazy stuff. I was hallucinating earlier that Kim
and
Kardashian.
Cool. Do you want to do one more scene? Do you have time?
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, one more. Let's do one more.
Suggestion?
Yeah, let's do a suggestion. What's the song lyric?
Dancing Queen.
Dancing Queen, whatever that means to you.
And we're back with the 2016 Polka Dancing Competition. The competition has heated up quite a bit here ever since the team from Slovenia has kicked the team from Russia in the shins.
Yes, and thank you for tuning in to this exciting radio production of Polka Dance 2016.
Unfortunately, because of the copyrighted nature of the polka music, we can't play any of it and simply have to describe what's going on.
Yes.
You need to stop that polka.
Yeah, please stop. Yeah,
please turn that down.
Please turn that down.
We cannot afford another lawsuit.
Yes. Oh, look at them dance. Aren't they magnificent?
Well, listen to us looking at them dance.
Oh, Nadir's really enjoying it. And Kelsey, look at her smile.
I'm sorry. Let me just, this is our new intern. Describe the polka, not the reactions.
Ooh. Ooh, I just got burned. Did you hear that?
Cool. So that's kind of I want to point out, like, a couple things about it people might find unusual about what they're doing. One is that instead of arguing, they usually try to agree, so working off agreeing with each other. So if Kelsey came up with a line, give me any line at all.
It's really cold today.
Then instead of going like, no, it's not, it's warm, which might be funny, but it messes up the scene, and so much of it is like playing the reality of the scene. So instead of yeah, it'll freeze you, especially after the last few days were so warm. I got used to it, right? So you're just playing reality or whatever your reality come up with, and that kind of works how it works. then usually the performers are kind of using how they're listening to what someone else says, and then they're reacting using whatever they feel or think to give their character, and that gives them that speed. You know, you look at the speed, and it's a practice thing, like when they did that whole thing where it was almost scripted, right? And then, you know, so people tend to play characters, so we encourage people to embody the point of view of a character, whether it's physical or voice or if it's an emotion, a strong emotion that the character has.
All right, 11:58 and change here on Sunday morning wake-up call. So just another minute left with our guest today from Big Blue Door. I want to know just here at the end, why isn't there Improv 4, or will there soon be?
Because we feel like at a certain point when people get through, like in the first level, you're mostly working with the two-person thing, back and forth. In the second level, we are working on something we didn't really do today, which was to create a relationship between two people and then either moving it to the future or calling it back later on. We did a little of that. And then the third, you work on group scenes, like they just did a group scene here called the simple one called a panel of experts, you know, and learning to work with that. And that pretty much gives you the tools you need to do a run of shows. So then at that point, we put people in teams or groups, ensembles, and let them practice actually having shows. For like, we have a show coming up third Thursday in December, and then we have run of shows starting again in January.
Well, that answers my last question.
So you can find out about all our information at bigbluedoor.org. You can find out about upcoming classes. We have not a lot this year. We still have every third Thursday we're at Sivo Coffee. Starting in January on the fourth Saturdays, we're going to be at Front Porch. And we have other shows at other places throughout, at McGuffey Arts Center, where our studio is. And you can sign up for classes directly online. The Improv 1 that starts in January, like the third week in January, Tuesdays, they can sign up for it right now and get a discounted price.
Well, I want to thank everyone for coming in today. It was incredibly entertaining, except for everyone except the one guest whose name I can't pronounce properly. But you can still, hopefully that was entertaining for my mediocrity.
Ashurbanipal.
Ashurbanipal. It's an L at the end.
Thanks to everyone for your time.
Thank you so much for having us.
And your skills. Again, next week, Sean McCord will be here. Happy Thanksgiving for everyone, or happy time off if you don't celebrate Thanksgiving for whatever country you may be from. In 2 weeks, I'll be back. Enjoy.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Production assistance and engineering from Sean McCord and Mike Friend. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the Wake-Up Call, only on WPVC LP Charlottesville.